WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
And welcome back in hour number three here on Fun Friday. And that's what we do here, Grace. We have Fun Friday where we don't talk about politics or other things that are going on in the news. And we try to have, you know, a little bit of fun. That's why I figured this would be a perfect thing for Fun Friday. So joining us now, we have singer, songwriter, and local legend, Grace Morrison.
Hi.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
I'm so excited to be associated with fun. That's not often the case.
No, listen. Anytime that you are performing or singing, people have the best time ever. So you bring the fun wherever you go. You're one of the most positive, upbeat people that I know.
Aww.
So, and it reflects in your music, but your music also takes you on a journey. And before we get into your music, because it is Fun Friday and the question today is, you know, who are people's favorite local bands and musicians? I got to ask you, who are some of your favorite people on the local scene, you know, present and past?
My goodness. Okay. I wasn't prepared for that question. It's not really, I wouldn't say local, but John Evans, who produced my record, lives on the Cape. Is that too far?
No, that's local.
All right.
Well, Massachusetts counts.
He's amazing. Mostly because he was playing my very first concert. He was on the stage at what it was, a Tweeter Center then. And I remember sitting there thinking, I'm going to play with him someday. And then I did.
There you go. You have been able to manifest a lot in your career.
Well, it's like we were talking about earlier. You just in the arts, you just kind of chip away and you meet so many people and do all the jobs that occur in music, you know?
So let's talk a little bit about your journey. So, I mean, I know this was something going back to high school. You were out there performing. I remember you doing national anthems at anybody that needed a national anthem, you would be there. I think you already had your own backing track and everything ready to go.
It's so funny. I think this is the only thing I've ever had confidence in, you know, and it's been such a gift to me because I was such a shy kid. Like when I found a thing I was good at, I was just like all in, you know, I never had any doubts about it, which is not true for any other thing in my life. Like walking down the street, terrified.
I mean, yeah, but you have a reason to be confident because you do have a talent. But like you said, you have to hone it. You have to work at it. How did you do that? How did you become the musician that you are today?
Well, you know, I remember when I first started playing guitar, I was like 12, 13 years old. I mean, that's all I did. Come home from school, it was like 4 or 5 hours. It was all I did. I was just so in, you know what I mean? And it's just, I don't feel right unless I'm writing a song or playing. It's just...
So it became kind of the outlet for you to be able to express how you felt about everything.
Everything, truly everything.
Because some songs I know have been autobiographical for you. Other songs have been characters. We'll talk about the new song, you know, and the way that goes. Is it a natural thing to say when a song starts, like this is going to be something introspective or this is something where I'm going to be telling someone else's story? Does it just kind of come out of you naturally or does it have to be a concentrated thing for you to say, you know what, I think I've written enough songs about me on this album. Let's go in a different path.
You know, I kind of fall, it sounds so artsy, and I follow the muse, Tim.
No, we talk that way here, believe me.
I don't always know when I sit down. Like sometimes I'll sit down just because I want to practice writing. You know, it's like anything, you just got to do it, and maybe the song's not good, but it was worth just the effort of writing. There are other times when I've got a big feeling, and I need to get it out of me. It's always kind of different, and I don't always know how it's going to turn out. The song. Sometimes, you know, I've got a big feeling because something happened to me, but then when I start writing the song, you know, I wind up describing something else because it can be easier to use an avatar rather than make it be me.
And take yourself out of it because then you can, because I would imagine too that, you know, you've got to be critical of the song yourself, but then you're going to work with producers who are going to be critical of it. And sometimes when it is you, I can imagine it can be hard to have people pick that apart.
It's so hard. And especially like a songwriting competition, ooh, that's pretty hard too. So, but yeah, I think it's such a mix of how the song turns out. You know, people ask what comes first, the melody or the lyric. It's always different.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes you might just have something pop in your head and you just kind of see where that takes you. And what I love about that is that you've never really been pinned down to any one genre. You know, we're talking about some of these local musicians and you can kind of say, well, they were a jazz band. They were a hardcore band. Like they stay within kind of that genre. And you've never really had to do that. You've been able to play whatever type of music moved you in that moment.
Well, I think that is the joy of just calling yourself singer-songwriter. Because that can mean so many things. But with this new record, it's difficult sometimes to get people to want to listen if you can't give them a word of like, this is what my music is. Mm-hmm. So I just made one up. I call it Saltwater Country.
And it seems to be the perfect fit. And when you go back, you can kind of retroactively apply that to a lot of the songs that you've created over the years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of exciting. Like, I've just made my own genre, and it's whatever I want it to be.
Because I think I read something where, like, way back in your early career, because just, you know, full disclosure, I've known you for years. You went to school with my sister. And I remember following along and reading reviews or reading when you'd done a local show. And, you know, we're talking, people were referring to you as like in the vein of Jewel. That was a name that came up a lot. But then you see, you know, depending on what the song was or the performance was or the venue where you were performing, you might see somebody saying, oh, the new Leanne Rimes. Like people were always trying to compare you to things. And you've never really had that comparison because you've been your own kind of genre unto yourself.
And it took me a very long time. You know, my dad used to, I joke about it on stage, my dad used to say, you've got to sing the blues and country. And I was like, no, I like Hanson. I don't want to do blues and country. And it's taken me, you know, some artists come out fully formed. It has taken me a long time to find what I would call my sound. And I also think it's interesting, you know, you look at all those earlier comparisons. It's like, that's a girl with a guitar, so Jewel.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Right.
And I've been kind of practicing trying to compare my music to male artists too. Like I think there's a little dose of Tom Petty in there. You know, I think that's interesting.
And does it make it difficult to, you know, find specific gigs because there is no real, like you're not fitting into some of the genres? Because I know around here we're lucky because a lot of these places where they have the opportunity for artists to play, they have the door wide open for all different types of genres. But in other parts of certainly Massachusetts and New England, it becomes very genre specific. Like, no, we're a country band. You can only play country songs here. Or no, you know, we're an Irish bar, so you can only play Irish music. Do you find that you have to kind of mold yourself in certain places to a playlist that fits the vibe?
It's a little bit of a dance. I think for the most part, because I just perform by myself, the places I'm going, like songwriter festivals, some of them lean country, some of them lean more folk Americana, but my music can fit into both of those. But I do find, like, in New England, a lot of the audiences I play for are what you might call a folk audience. Mm-hmm. And so I'm up there thinking in my head, I'm like, okay, is this like bluesy rock thing going to fit this room? But for the most part, I think my music has enough nuances in different genres that I can do a lot of these events.
This is going to sound like I'm making a ridiculous comparison or you know, the kind of comparison that might make you cringe. But when I was watching A Complete Unknown, I thought of you. I know. Bob Dylan immediately makes me think of Grace Morrison. But it was because when they're having these scenes at the Newport Folk Festival and they're so specific about what they think folk music is,
yeah.
I said, wow, how much have we changed now that we don't put those hard labels on that anymore? Anything that just makes you feel folksy now is folk music. Anything that kind of gets you in your feelings can be folk music. And you, as you said, you know, even with that, you're still kind of thinking about how to fit within to that label.
Yeah, it is true about folk. I mean, a lot of the folk communities that I play in will say, oh, we accept all these different kinds of music. But still, you know, there's regional differences. And like, I find that my music fits in best actually down like Southwest and in the South. Because a lot of the New England music tends to be softer. And I come in, I feel like an elephant sometimes.
Well, I don't want to... you know, I don't want to bring up bad experiences.
No.
But was there ever a place that you went to and you're like, this is probably not the bill I should be on. Like, I should not be performing. Like, you know, you go on after a punk band, you're like, I don't think this is going to be the audience for me.
Okay, do you know the very first tour I did right out of high school? The opening band was a band called Scum Scunge.
I can imagine. I don't think that was an acoustic guitar.
No. It paints a picture, doesn't it? What remind me of the question?
Well, just
I'm thinking about Scumskunch.
Yeah, just you know, any bills that you played on with other bands, where you might not have been as accepted by the crowd.
Not because of the other bands, but I did have a show maybe 5 years ago. I was hired to play for a room of 250, like 12 to 14 year olds, and that was really anxiety inducing. At the time, I was singing a lot about like historical things. I'm like, these children do not know or care about King Henry VIII. I don't know. It was really scary.
How did they react to it?
It was great. They loved it.
I think people at that age, we don't give kids enough credit.
Yeah.
Because a lot of our musical tastes are formed at that age. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what we're drawn to happen at that age. And, you know, I'm somebody who I'm all about lyrics more than melody. That's what draws me into something. And I was, you know, looking for introspective and interesting lyrics at that age. So I think young kids are into that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. You know, you go in. That's the other thing about audiences. You go in with one assumption. Like, you look at them, you try to feel the room, and you make an assumption about these people. And they'll surprise you all the time, usually in a good way.
And also, you know, the younger people have a different approach to the music industry than we might have had when we were growing up. You know, we grew up in the time of you had to get signed by labels, and you know, that was the dream, is to have them putting out your album. And then, you know, I think, you know, you knew you made it when you were on MTV or when Columbia House was selling your album for a penny. But nowadays it's so different, because now the artists do have so much more control, because they can do so much of it on their own with the technology that we have.
Yeah, it's the thing I hear a lot in the music business, and I'm using air quotes on business because who knows what it is anymore. It's nobody, they don't want to go and like build a fire anymore. Like a lot of the industry people, like publishers, be like, we're not looking to build a fire. We're looking for where there's already smoke.
Mm-hmm.
So much of it is incumbent upon the artist to like make it work.
And in that way, you're able to shape things the way that you want them, and be able to say no to things. You know, you've been able to have a life in addition to being a performer.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody has that, you know, that opportunity when they have to, you know, live by what the record label is telling them to do. And then that's how they get burnt out, and those careers don't last as long. And the creativity doesn't last as long. You've been able to keep yours going because you have all these other interests that keep sparking and fueling what you do.
It's true. And I think, you know, the old model, if you look in the 90s, when I first started, like, I thought Gwen Stefani was on the cover of 17 magazine, and I'll never forget it. It was Gwen Stefani, how does she get her abs? And little teenage me was like, oh, if I want to do this job, I have to have abs.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had an ab. I'm never going to have an ab. And that's the cool part about that the artist has so much control, because who said I can't do it? You know, you make it work for yourself.
And when you look, like, that has kind of worked its way in, because, you know, people like to criticize Taylor Swift because they say, well, she went pop and kind of sold out a little bit, but she's been in control of herself. You know, she doesn't do what anybody... Look at Billie Eilish. I mean, this is somebody who has not only changed the way people look at music, but changed the way that young women have to look at themselves and how they have to fit into society. You know, we're seeing a lot of strength coming from this music, and I think it's going to pay dividends, you know, down the line with not only the music of the future, but how this generation shapes up as people.
Yeah, I absolutely think so. And I actually noticed a lot in younger people, they're just standing up for themselves and saying, no, that doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that so much. Like, I still work on that really hard.
I mean, I don't know if you consider yourself Gen X or are you a millennial? What do you put yourself in?
Oh, I'm right on the borderline.
Yeah.
I'm probably, my stepdaughter said, you're a millennial? I think I'm a millennial.
But even so, those two generations, I think, we came about at a time when, you know, there was variety of life and there was, you know, differing things. In the 90s, when you turned on the radio, you would hear all different kinds of things. Like, we're talking about the different genres. And it wasn't so pigeonholed as things are now. I mean, I joke all the time about Fun 107. I say to them, I'm like, I don't know that I could listen to the same songs over and over again like you guys do in there, because, you know, Top 40 Radio, that's what they do. But because I grew up at a time when you would just turn to this station and listen to alternative rock and then this station and hip-hop, or then maybe the same station was playing all of that. And nowadays, things have to be so specific, so... So talk to us about the new album, though, and the approach that you took with this one, because I find this very interesting.
So I wanted to write about my hometown. And so I started with actually the song that's, I've never performed it at all. It's called Smoke Stain, and it's just about watching people, you know, all walks of life walk down the street in town. But I just started writing songs about Wareham. And people were like, what are you doing writing songs about Wareham? But the cool thing has been that the more specific that I'm getting about my experiences in my little hometown, the more people are relating to it. It's people always say, just write what you know, right? It's so true. Because, you know, I'm writing a song that mentions Gina Davis and like never leaving your hometown. And somebody in Texas gets that because they never left their hometown. Mm-hmm. And it's just been so cool. Like, it's almost like looking at old photos. You know, I like went through a photo album and remembered something and wrote a song about it. And like everybody from growing up shows up in this record.
You know, and that's kind of the beauty of Wareham. People think I wax nostalgic a little bit on Wareham, but that's what it is it's a place where everybody fits in one way or another.
Yeah.
And where we don't put labels on things there. And I moved there from Sandwich, where it was a completely different experience. And that's when I knew I had found a home because I was accepted. And it kind of stuck with me throughout my life. You mentioned Gina Davis, and you know, it's kind of funny, you know, your family and her family kind of neighbors, right? You didn't live that far from each other. And she doesn't mention Wareham. She doesn't, you know, she's like, ah, I'm from Cape Cod, but you are unabashedly Wareham.
Oh, absolutely. And I tell people that my, you know, every small business needs a mission statement. And mine is that I just want Gina Davis to say she's from Wareham. And I want no R. I want her to say Wareham. Lean in, Gina.
Well, she's coming to Rhode Island Comic Con this year. And I'm trying really hard to get her to come on the show to promote that appearance. So, and then we'll definitely, we'll tie her down to that when she's here, if we get her. I feel like it's just one of those things where you can't, when you're talking to the hometown audience, you can't. And by the way, she's a lovely person. I don't know if you've had the chance to, but she used to come into the diner when she was in town. Like, she's a nice person. It's just, I think it's more of a, it's easier to say Cape Cod because people would say, where the hell's Wareham?
Yes.
And then you got to use the explanation I use. You know how Cape Cod is an arm? Look at the armpit.
Yes.
That's where we're from.
Yeah. Tim, I do the same thing. I always tell people, that's the thing. You say you're from Massachusetts, and they're like, where are you from, Boston? And then I was like, no, more like Cape Cod. And then I'm in New Mexico, and someone's like, oh, yeah, what town on Cape Cod? And I say, Wareham, and we get into fisticuffs. So I've started telling people, you know, they've got like this whole affluent, rich people part of Cape Cod. You know, we're the armpit. I love that you say that, too.
See, great minds think alike. Well, I'll tell you what. We are going to play your new song. Tell us about the song that you have out, Gloria, which is, I called it an M. Night Shyamalan song.
That made me so happy. It's a little bit of a sea shanty. I started writing it when I was watching an episode of Murder, She Wrote, because I'm a big old nerd. And the episode started with this little carved wooden fisherman, and my brain went, oh my God, my grandfather had the same carved wooden fisherman on his dresser growing up. And it just got me thinking about him, and I was born during Hurricane Gloria. So, we can talk about what it's about afterward, maybe, if you want to. But I think there are different levels you could look at the song.
Wow, I remember you were born during Hurricane Gloria. Carrie was born just a few months before on the couch at home. and I remember that hurricane. I was so disappointed that I didn't blow away when I'd heard so much about it. All right, well, let's play the song. And when we come back, we'll go to the news with Mike, but maybe we'll have you stick around a little bit if you can, and we'll talk some more. All right, here it is, Gloria, the new song from Grace Morrison. And because you control your own music, I think we can play the whole song and not get
Yay!
In trouble. All right, so here we go.
There's a wooden carving of an old fisherman, yellow rain slicker and a smoke pipe. He's staring off blindly toward Nauset Light, boys. I don't think we're leaving the harbor tonight. She throws up sick white caps, look like tossed ships, and they ain't gonna give no reprieve. Gloria, Gloria, sing her name. Gloria, Gloria, she don't want me to leave. I came back home for the last time, I thought, just to grab my old cat and some things. And that sickly sweet voice started calling my name, boys. You ain't ever heard this girl sing. So row, row, roll up your rigging. She ain't gonna stop, and I ain't ever leaving. This hellhole town got my heart in his hands. better when she's too strong. I can't stand red sky in the morning when I left my mooring. Calamity I should have seen, but the temptation of finally getting away from the woman who cuckolded me. The street throws up sick white cats, look like tall ships, and they ain't gonna give no reprieve. Gloria, Gloria, sing her name. Gloria, Gloria, she don't want. Like black ink when you fall in the drink. There's no fighting the girl's current sign. Just float like the martyr of all the old songs, where you wash up on the shore when she's done. Oh, roll, roll, roll up your rigging. She ain't gonna stop, and I ain't ever. She's too strong, I can't stand. There's a wooden carving of an old fisherman, and I think that it looks just like me. I've grown into the floorboards of this godforsaken house. It's my ghost in the window you see. The sea throws up sick white caps, look like tall ships, and they ain't gonna get no reprieve. Gloria, Gloria, sing her name. Gloria, Gloria, she don't want me to leave. Gloria, she don't want me to leave.
And right as I gross out Grace Morrison, we come back from, I was telling her a food story. But that was Gloria. And I like that twist at the end.
I'm so glad you caught it.
So was that something that was intentional, or did that kind of just come about as the lyrics were flowing out of you?
The whole song felt like it wrote itself. But I was thinking about it in terms of my grandfather, who was, my grandmother was a difficult woman. And I always said to myself, why didn't he just leave? So I was imagining him thinking of a story for his little carved wooden fisherman, and then at the end realizing that perhaps he was the fisherman. It was intentional and not intentional.
I like it. All right, I got to play a quick break. When we come back, we'll get the news with Mike. When we come back from that, we'll talk with Eric over at the butcher shop, and then we'll continue talking with Grace Morrison. By the way, if you want to find out more or pick up the music, gracemorrison.com is the place to go. We'll talk about some upcoming shows and stuff as well, too. But right now, we'll take a quick break and be right back, because I know people are waiting for their cash code. Here it comes.
A deadly helicopter crash in the Hudson River, Alex Jones losing an appeal, and a game show legal battle underway.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Florida's top agriculture official is sounding the alarm for what could be an especially dangerous wildfire season. Wilton Simpson says that while conditions are dry in central Florida, they're extremely dry in the south and southwest parts of the state.
We will fight another 1,500 to 2,000 fires between now and the end of fire season. A lot of those fires are started by Mother Nature with lightning, but most of the fires are by arson or backyard fires that get away from us.
Officials are confirming 6 people have died after a helicopter crashed into the Hudson River in New York City. Mayor Eric Adams spoke out after the tragedy.
We're praying for the families and our gratitude to the rescuers and the courage that was displayed and their dedication.
The bodies of 3 adults and 3 children pulled from the water on the New Jersey side after the helicopter went down Thursday afternoon. Witnesses say the chopper broke apart before it went down and overturned. New York Governor Kathy Hochul said in a statement she's joining all New Yorkers in praying for those who were lost. The Connecticut Supreme Court refusing to hear an appeal filed by conspiracy theorist Alex Jones of the judgment of $1.4 billion against him. Michael Kastner reports.
A judge and jury awarded the money to the families of the 2012 Sandy Hook school massacre victims after the internet host repeatedly called the killings a hoax and the families paid actors. The state's high court did not give a reason for the decision not to hear the case, which means Jones is out of appeals in Connecticut. Jones owes tens of millions of dollars more in a similar judgment against him in Texas.
No injuries being reported after two planes clipped wings at Reagan National Airport. The incident comes just under 3 months after the deadly crash between a military helicopter and an American Airlines flight approaching Reagan. The air traffic control system has become a focal point of President Trump since the crash in January. Officials announcing more Olympic and Paralympic events for the 2028 Los Angeles Games.
The International Olympic Committee says there will be 351 medal events at the LA 2028 Games, 22 more than were held at the 2024 Paris Games. The IOC also announcing the comeback of sports like baseball and softball, cricket, flag football, lacrosse, and squash. LA 2028 expected to be the third largest games behind Tokyo 2020 and Rio 2016. I'm Jim Roop.
A Utah man is dead after accidentally driving his wheelchair into a pool. The drowning happened Monday afternoon in St. George, and the man was also legally blind. Officials added he was new to using a wheelchair and had other medical issues. His identity has not been released. An investigation into his death is underway. Over 300 student visas are being revoked by the Trump administration as it cracks down on immigration. Secretary of State Marco Rubio said it's a privilege to go to school in the U.S.
If you come to this country as a student, we expect you to go to class and study and get a degree. If you come here to like vandalize a library, take over a campus and do all kinds of crazy things, you know, we're going to get rid of these people.
Some international students have seen their visas taken away for allegedly supporting terrorist organizations. Others have had theirs reportedly revoked for things like traffic violations. It comes as colleges watch immigration databases to see if students are still allowed to be in the U.S. Last month, Rubio said a couple hundred visas were revoked and more would be happening every day. Congress is passing the so-called SAVE Act, which seeks to make sure only citizens can vote in elections. It's being pushed by Congressman Chip Roy.
There are people who have been indicted for voting illegally. We know that there are voter rolls with massive numbers of people who are illegally present in the United States.
The Texas Republican says some states give driver's licenses to those who cross the border illegally and are awaiting their court date. That's why he wants a higher standard when it comes to registering to vote. Democrats blasting that plan, saying that it disenfranchises those who cannot find a birth certificate. Sony will keep the distribution rights for popular game shows Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune for now. A Los Angeles Superior Court judge granted a preliminary injunction in a case involving Sony Pictures Television and CBS. The injunction prevents CBS from blocking Sony from distributing the shows. The court ruled Sony was allowed to terminate its deals with CBS and take over distribution after filing a breach of contract suit against the network. CBS plans to appeal that decision.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox came back from behind in the bottom of the 10th to beat the Blue Jays 4-3 last night. Sox traveled to Chicago to take on the White Sox tonight at 7:40. Bruins lost to the Chicago Blackhawks 5-2. They head to Pittsburgh on Sunday. And the Celtics will host the Charlotte Hornets at the Garden tonight.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
This afternoon stays pretty gray and a bit breezy, but not as wet, so at least you got that going for you. That said, it's still going to be chilly with high temperatures only in the upper 40s, about 10 degrees below average for this time of year. If you have any late night, date night plans, make sure you have the umbrella on hand as well, as rain's going to move back in tonight and then linger into a soggy Saturday. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
All right, welcome back in. We're going to be checking in with Eric at the Butcher Shop in just a little bit. But right now I want to remind you of a couple of things that are coming up at Stevie's Wine and Spirits. One of my favorite places. Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. Tonight from 5 to 7, they're having a tasting event with Vermont Spirits. They're going to be sampling number 14 American bourbon whiskey finished with pure Vermont maple syrup. So get on over and try some of that. And remember, you'll get 10% off anything that's being tasted. Tomorrow, from 2 to 4, a craft beer and ready-to-drink cocktail tasting. Over five vendors are going to have lots of different beers and cocktails for you to try. That's going to be happening from 2 to 4 tomorrow, all at Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. And don't forget, too, anything over there with a purple dot on the label, on the shelf, you can ask for a sample to try before you buy. So you don't have to commit yourself to anything that you're not sure of. You can sample it all at Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Make sure you join the Rack House Club. And tomorrow, if you go to the craft beer tasting, you can join the Craft Beer Club as well. That's a recently debuted thing they've just started. So I'm sure, Grace Morrison, as you are outperforming at a lot of these different places, you've heard of all these different drinks and cocktails and everything that people are trying these days. I don't know what all the kids are drinking. I don't know. I hear about these things. I'm like, I don't know. Just pour me a sample. Let me try it. So, but we were talking about your new album. So I would assume that with this new album coming out, when is the album officially out?
It's going to be out in June.
Okay.
I don't have an exact date yet, but it will be June.
And this is going to be both streaming and physical media.
Yes. Vinyl for the very first time.
This will be your first vinyl?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
I'm really excited.
Are you a vinyl person?
I am.
So there you go, yeah. Remind me before you leave, I'll show you. There's a soundtrack to one of my radio shows on vinyl. It's the coolest thing.
Oh, cool.
Just an awesome looking vinyl. So that'll be coming out in June. So I'm assuming that there's going to be some shows out there promoting it and supporting it, but you're always performing somewhere.
I am. I just got home from an epic Texas to Wisconsin trip that made no geographical sense whatsoever.
But you go where the music takes you.
Exactly. So this Sunday, I'll be at the Marion Music Hall. We're doing a tea with a concert to support the Elizabeth Tabor Library. And this summer, July 26th, I'll be doing an album release show in Parkwood Beach in Wareham.
Nice. Yeah. Well, that's. I mean, we're talking about a perfect venue for some music when you're talking about songs that are about Wareham, about the sea, about all of that. That's a great spot for that.
Yeah.
So do you have a favorite local venue, you know, one that's still around or maybe one that's no longer here anymore?
Well, the Zeiterion Theater, which is still undergoing renovations, does the Stage Door series. That's probably my favorite local stage I've ever played. That or the Narrows in Fall River.
And I've seen some of the stuff going on at the Zeiterion. We've been following along with them regularly. It's going to be amazing once they finish everything. And you're not performing to people sitting in seats from the 1940s or whenever they salvage those seats from. And people are a lot more comfortable. They'll enjoy the show a lot more. Is there a place that you've always wanted to perform that you haven't had a chance to yet?
The Melody Tent.
Really?
That's my dream.
And they can't make that happen?
Yeah, I haven't found the right person to make it happen, maybe. Maybe today's the day.
We'll tell you what, they could very well be listening. But we'll try to make some phone calls and say, why haven't you had her? I mean, they've had all kinds of local performers up there. I don't know why they wouldn't have you there.
Yeah, that's the dream. I don't know. I would opening for Hanson at the Melody Tent, I think would be my peak dream.
Are Hanson going on tour anytime soon?
They're always touring.
Yeah, so maybe we can make that happen too.
Oh my God.
at the very least, you know, they could get you on there with some other local artists. I'm sure they have some local performing events.
Yeah, I don't know if they do. I don't know. I've seen some friends have opened for national acts there. I also want to know, like, can I stand up on a rotating stage? I don't know. This is a thing I
need to
find
out. That seems like
it
could be easy to find out. They could just let you go over there someday when there's nobody around and answer that question. All right, well, we're going to take our next break here. If you want to call in with any questions for Grace, 508-996-0500. We'll be back in just a few moments. All right, we are with Grace Morrison here, singer-songwriter. The new album, Saltwater Country, coming your way. The new single, Gloria, we played it earlier. And people can stream that?
Yeah.
So where will they find that?
Any place you can stream music. Spotify, Pandora, YouTube.
And apparently on the WBSM podcast because we played it in the song. Let's go to the phones here. Good morning. You are on with Grace Morrison.
Hi, Grace. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Not bad. I follow you. I'm a little older, but I still follow you. I just got a quick question for you. I'm sure when you said Parkwood, you have to be related to Johnny Morrison, David Morrison, Wayne Morrison. Is that your family? That's your family, right?
Yeah, my uncles and my cousin.
Oh, I grew up with all those guys and hung around Parkwood quite a bit when growing up.
Yeah, my dad was their older brother.
Awesome, awesome. Well, good luck. I just wanted to touch base. I was listening to you, and I went, it's got to be the same family.
Oh, right? It just made me so happy. Thank you.
Good old Parkwood. Great family, too. Great family.
They're good guys. And I mentioned that first tour I ever did right out of high school where Scum Scunge was the opening band. I was with Wayne for that.
Well, you know it's in your blood because I used to go there. What's the name of the little community building they had there?
The clubhouse.
And David was a drummer.
Yeah. Oh, he'll be so happy to hear that someone remembered him on the radio.
tell him the Gomes family was asking for him.
I will.
All right, bye.
Thank you so much. Yeah, as I mentioned, you know, it is a very musical family. I remember through Wayne, we worked together at the Rock for Christmas, and you got to sing backup for Eddie Money right here in Fairhaven. You were the Ronnie Spector that night.
Yes.
And that was a great time. The best part was the rehearsal the night before.
Uh-huh.
That was even better. When Eddie Money showed up and then immediately started yelling at Wayne. I have a VHS tape. Come on, Wayne, it's for the children. Get your act together.
You have a tape of that?
I have I have one of those the little tapes there.
Oh my god.
I still have it somewhere, yeah.
That's a treasure.
I'll find it. We'll upload it.
Yes, please.
So and also Bruce is in All Sinners. So,
yes.
So musical family. You can see them all over the place. We've got to take one more break here before we run out of time. But before I do that, want to let everybody know they have the new menu rolled out at Brax Tavern. It is formerly the Boston Tavern in Middleborough. Brax, who you know from Brax Grill and Tap in Taunton and Brockton, they purchased the Boston Tavern. And now they've combined the best of two worlds. So you've got the Brax favorites and classics, some of the favorites from the tavern as well, coming together in one fantastic menu. And you can check it out online and see some of the great things that they have. But I mean, really, where can you go in Middleborough and get chicken Mozambique? It's a very hard thing to find. My choice, though, the Daisy May chicken. You like fried chicken, Grace?
Oh, I love a fried chicken.
It's fried boneless chicken with sausage gravy on it.
Oh.
It doesn't get any more country than that. As somebody who, you know, is saltwater country, I'm sure you could appreciate those two things combined.
That sounds great.
So you can find out more by going to BraxGrillAndTap.com or just stop in. Brax in Brockton, Brax in Taunton, and now Brax Tavern in Middleborough. Let's take this final break and we'll come back and wrap things up with Grace. All right. In the few moments that we have left here, it's time to check in with Eric over at the butcher shop. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Tim? How you doing?
Yeah, it sounds like you're already pretty busy over there today.
Ah, dude, I'm always doing something. Something always to do.
It's true. It's Lent. It's Friday. It's time for people to start coming in and getting their fish.
Yeah, fish day, brother.
Yeah,
fish. Make a wish. I got it all.
And of course, you got the lobster rolls today?
No, I don't today, actually.
No lobster rolls?
Honestly, there's something going on with lobsters. I can't get any right now. I think they're waiting for boats to come in.
Oh, I think
man, I can't do the lobster rolls today, man. I like to do them fresh. So what am I going to do? I don't have one lobster in the tank. Tank's running, wasting money. What am I going to do, brother? I'm just waiting for them to come in.
I think the lobsters are afraid if they come in, they'll get deported. So maybe,
maybe
they hold it off.
Terrible! What a terrible dig that is. It's so bad.
But it's the tariffs. They don't want to have to pay the tariffs when they come here. So, but you've also got for the people who aren't fish eaters, you've got all kinds of great meat as well.
Yeah, brother, I got whatever you want. I got tomahawks. Look, I got fish fillets today. I got sardines. I got mackerels. I got octopus. Dude, I got everything.
And if you don't have it, people can ask, and you'll get it for them if you can.
Just don't ask for lobster rolls today, dude. That's it.
And, of course, you're cooking up some great hot food for people to come in for lunch or grab a dinner to go, whatever they need. You've got it all there.
Yeah, dude, my dad makes bomb pork chops. He makes the steak tips, chicken Mozambique. Rice, potatoes, buy steaks, take the sides. You know, you can do whatever you want, man. I got nice tomahawks. I got ribeye, sirloins, you know, for the heathens don't care about this holiday. It's what it is, brother.
All right. Well, thank you, Eric. We'll let you get back to work. You have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, brother. Don't forget French meat pies.
There you go. Absolutely. Excellent. All right. Thank you. All right. Stop by the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford.